If you're anything like me, you have a passion for truth. You want to know the truth because you know the truth is what makes you free. And you don't want to go around living a lie, thinking you live things are right one way, only to find out things are not that way at all. And for so many people who are in the body of Christ today, they're going through the motions of what they think God said in his word, only to find out that, you know, time after time after time again, they keep bumping their head up against the wall. Like, man, something is wrong. There's got to be more to this thing than this. So that's how this whole series started, about setting the record straight, that there had to be more to it than this. There had to be something that was going on. And it started from one patch in scripture where God said this. Well, actually, Paul was writing about the church at Rome, and he was saying this. He said in Romans chapter 10, verse number 2, he said this. He says, well, I bear witness that they have a zeal or a passion for God, but not according to knowledge. So you can have a heart, a strong desire for the things of God, and still not be doing it according to knowledge. How do you know? He said, he goes on and says, for they being ignorant or unlearned of God's righteousness, or God's ways of doing things, or God's ways of being right, and seeking, because they're ignorant of God's ways, what they have done is they began to seek and to establish their own righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, that is happening all over the world today. And not only today, it was happening all the way back there in Paul's day, all the way back there in Jesus' day. God has says, this is my way of being right, and this is my way of being right with me. And people says, God, I hear what you said. Jesus, I understand what you spoke. Paul, I understand what you write, but I've made a decision. I'm going to do it my way. So I don't want to do it your way, because it goes on to say, it says, and they have not only were they ignorant of God's righteousness, not only were they trying to seek and establish their own ways of righteousness, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness or the right standards or the right ways of God. He says, so what is causing them, even though they say they have a zeal for God, to not operate according to the righteousness of God? He says, because they don't know what the righteousness of God is. They made a decision, because I don't know, I'm not going to try to search to find out. So I'm going to seek my own righteousness, and I'm not going to submit to God's righteousness, even though there's people out there saying this is what the righteousness of God looks like. And that is why we're here today. He says, this is what I want you to share with them today. He says, Jesus has already come to make all things new. He said this because if you keep reading here in Romans chapter 10, it says in verse 4, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, or to get you in right standing with God, for those who believe in him. So what happens when you believe in Jesus himself? You enter into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How do you know that that's the case? Because it says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, even the righteousness of God, the right standing, right position, right ways, right thoughts of God are through faith in Jesus Christ. Didn't say you had to earn it, because you can't earn it. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, if you try to make up your own righteousness, even though people try to seek their own righteousness and establish their own righteousness, he says this, even with all your good works, even when all you say your good outweighing your bad, he says you will never earn the righteousness of God or being right standing with God in your own efforts apart from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it's available to who? All. To who? All. So you're saying in Romans chapter 3, 22, you said the righteousness of God is available to all. He says available to all and on all who will believe. So the moment you make a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment you make a decision to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have made yourself qualified to receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says, so what did you have to do to qualify? He says, for there is no difference. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how do you qualify to receive the righteousness of God? One, you have to have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have qualified for that. And two, you have to have made a decision to believe in Jesus, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to believe in him. He goes on to say this. He says, God justified us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So it's by our grace, by grace through faith. So you have to have the grace that God made available to us, and we receive it by faith unto salvation. So what are you saying? So you're saying that God, by his own grace, has already made salvation available to me, and all I have to do to receive that salvation, to receive righteousness, is to believe on his son, Jesus Christ? It couldn't be that simple. Really, it is that simple. How do you know? He also said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where he says, for he, talking about God, made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you and I. What does that mean? In accordance to Isaiah 53 and 5, Jesus bore every sin, every iniquity, every transgression on Calvary's tree. He took 39 stripes plus one for every sickness, infirmity, and disease. And by his stripes, we are not only healed, but we are whole. So Jesus, when he went to the cross, he paid the price. He laid down his life. He did not know sin, but he took on our sin for us. For what reason? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we would have the opportunity to receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus by believing in the fact that Jesus went to the cross for you and I. It actually says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says this. He says, if any man be or woman be in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The moment you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are made new. What part of you is made new? And that's the part that sometimes people get confused. When you get born again, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accept him as Lord over your life, you are born again from anew. What happens? The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of your spirit, and he makes the great exchange with you. He pulls out that old way of sin, and he pulls that part, that old nature out, and he replaces it with the nature and character and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father. And what do we receive? We receive the righteousness of God, God's right ways, God's right thinking, God's right pattern, God's right character, God's right nature on the inside of what? Our spirit. Because you are a three-part being. You are a spirit in accordance to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You are a spirit that lives in a body. Your body is your earth suit, and you have a soul. Now, your soul is your mind, will, and emotion, your feeler, your chooser, your thinker. So when you get born again from anew, what happens is you receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of your spirit. And what does he bring with him? He brings the nature and character of God. What does he also bring with him? He brings the fruit of the Spirit, which we find in Galatians chapter 5, where it says this. It says, but we have received the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is this: love and joy and faith and peace and gentleness and goodness and long-suffering and meekness. He says, against such there is no law. So when you're born again, you receive the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit, that very Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. Why do you know that? Because Jesus said it in John chapter 14. He says, I will send you another comforter. And in this comforter, the Holy Spirit, what is the characteristics of the Holy Spirit? He is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your advocate. He is your intercessor. He is your strengthener. He is your standby. All those characteristics, are all those abilities, are on the inside of you. When? Right now. What are they all a part of? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what enables you, or empowers you, to be able to live in God's right ways, God's right thinking, God's right doing, God's character, and God's nature all live on the inside of you. So why don't I see him? If all those things are on the inside of me, if you're saying the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me as a follower of Jesus, if you're saying the fruit of the Spirit is on the inside of me as a follower of Jesus, why don't I see them in my everyday life? Well, that's pretty simple. Romans chapter 12 says it this way. He says, don't be conformed to or fashioned after or adapt yourselves to this world, this current world in which we live in, which is a Babylonian system that's set up according to the kingdom of darkness. He says, do not conform or fashion yourself out or adapt these external superficial customs of this world. He says, but rather be transformed or changed by the total renewal of your mind. What's part of your mind? That's your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your feeler, your chooser, your thinker. He says, how are you supposed to be renewed? By the total renewal of your mind, by the word of God, that you can prove once and for all what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You cannot operate fully in the righteousness of God. You cannot operate fully according to God's way of doing things in the kingdom of God unless you have your mind or your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, renewed or changed by the word of God. See, what happens is for a lot of people, they get born again. They receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Absolutely. But they never, their spirit man is brand new. But the reason why they still respond the same, act the same, think the same, say the same things is because they have not renewed that. They have not renewed their mind or had their a new download to their soul, which is their mind, will, and emotions. So they think the same, they respond the same, they act the same, and they say something didn't take. Well, the only thing didn't take up to this point is the fact that you haven't made a decision to renew your mind by the word of God. But when Jesus came to the earth, he came to the earth to make all things new. So over these last few weeks, we've been shouting from the rooftop, you know, you are, if you are in Christ, you are right now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't renew your mind to the fact that you are the righteousness of God Christ Jesus, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will continue to listen to somebody in a pulpit or somebody standing on the street corner keep telling you are a low down dirty dog. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. There's nothing good about you. That's a lie. That's a lie. You was once an old sinner, but now you've been saved by grace. And now that you've been saved by grace, it says the moment, because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment, the fact that you have received him as your Lord and Savior by the grace of God and by your faith in what it is Jesus did for you on your cross, he says, and now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The moment that you begin to believe you are the righteousness of Christ Jesus, you will stop putting on those old grave clothes of, I'm just a low down dirty dog saved by grace. I'm just a no good swine. You might have been a wine bibber. You might have been a whoremonger. You might have been a thief. You might have been a liar. You might have been a cheat. But my Bible still says today that if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's already made you in right standing with God. And remember, we talked about righteousness as you first have to believe that what God says is true. So you can't operate according to the righteousness of God. You can't even operate in the kingdom of God till you make a decision to believe what God said is true. Because if you don't believe what he said is true, you won't accept when he says you just have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive it by grace through faith. And when you receive it by grace through faith, then you are made. It didn't say you had to become. You are made. It didn't say in the sweet by and by. It says you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is really that simple. And what happens is because you have been, people have been so much religion, the religion says you got to earn it. There's nowhere in the Bible says you got to earn righteousness. There's nowhere in the Bible says that you can ever earn salvation. But it says that if you believe, you will receive. And when you believe and you receive, because now you believe and you receive, and now you have made a decision, I'm going to live a life in line with what the word of God says, because I truly believe and trust that the word of God is true. The word says he has made all things new. How do you know? Well, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, he says this, and this is John writing. He says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Glory. And there should be no more death and no more sorrow and no crying. And he says, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, said, behold, I make all things new. Did y'all hear that? Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. What did Paul say by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If you be in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what happened to you? Behold, he has made all things new. He goes on to say, he says, and write this, he says, write, for these words are true and faithful. What did Jesus say? He said to me, he says, it is done. In other words, it is finished. What did he say in Isaiah 43:18? He says, 43:18, he says it this way. He says, remember not the former things, neither the considered things. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Shall you not see it? Shall you not know it? He says, I'm doing it when? Now. When am I doing it? Right now. And God is telling me to say to you, he's doing a new thing and he's done a new thing in you right now. Will you not receive it? Jesus goes on to say, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. He says that I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes inherits all these things. And he says, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, who is he who overcomes? The one who's made a decision to receive Jesus as their Lord over their life. The one who's made a decision to receive the righteousness of God and come in right standing with him. How do you know he's talking about those? Those are the ones who he said, I've already made all things new. Because he goes on to say in verse 8, he says, but to the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexual immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their pit in the lake, which is burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He says this, he says, for those who will receive what it is I've already made available to you. Hey, is I've already made it new. All you have to do is receive it. He says, but if you make a decision not to, the verdict on the other side, the consequence on the other side is this. Now, who's the deciding factor of which verdict you get? You are. I am. God has already made all things new. How do you know that the person is the one who is the deciding factor on whether you allow Jesus to make all things new in your life? Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 3. And this is what he told me to share with you. He said this, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 says this. He says, and the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. This is Jesus writing the letters to the church. He says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says this, I know your works. See, a lot of people think that, you know, just because you're doing it in the back of the booth in the corner in the dark, that nobody sees. Just because you can fool man, you can't ever fool God, because God is everywhere all at the same time. He goes on to say, he says, I know your works. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. He said, I would wish that you were cold or hot. He says, because I wish that you were cold or hot. He said, so then because you are lukewarm. He says, you're not either cold nor hot. You know what, in other words for saying that? You are at an indifference. You're not hot on one thing. You're not cold on the other thing. He says, you're indifferent. There's no difference. When you hear the word, it makes no difference, no change, no impact on your life. Now, mind you, he is writing to the church. He's not writing to Billy Bob, who don't know anything about God. He's writing to the church. He says, I know your works. He says, you're not either hot or cold. He says, you're lukewarm. You're indifferent. You're not swayed one way or the other. He says, I'd rather that you was hot or cold, but since you're not, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. He says, and this is the reason why you have become indifferent to my word, to my instructions, to my teachings. He says, because you say, I am rich and I am wealthy and I have no need of nothing. And he says, but you don't even realize. He says, you got all those temporary riches and all those temporary things. He says, but you don't even, you so blinded by the deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things. He says, you don't realize this. He says, you don't realize that you are, your glory to God. He says, you don't know that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. Even though in the natural, it seems like you got it all going on. But in the spirit, you are blind, wretched, poor, and naked. He says, but he don't leave you that way. He says, even though you got all these things going on, he says, I counsel you to buy from me, Jesus says, gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Rich in what? Spiritual things. He says, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that shame, that they will be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. He says, when you come into me, you are refined like fire. He says, I put on you the white robe of righteousness. I give you, I put salve on your eyes that you may be able to see. He says, and as many as I love. Now, mind you, the reason why Jesus is saying this to the church of Laodicea, even though they are blind and wretched and poor and naked and they can't even see it. He says, to as many as I love. To those whom I love, I rebuke or I correct and I chasten. He says, therefore, be zealous, he says, and repent. He says, be passionate, be mindful, be zealous and repent. Change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions. Turn from that old way of thinking and come to my way of thinking. He says, and behold, he says, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And right now, as we're sharing this word, he's knocking at the door of your heart. And he says, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and I will dine with him and I will be and he will be with me and to him who overcomes. So it's still a decision. You have to make a decision to overcome. He says, I will grant them to sit with me on my throne, as I have also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he says, and to those who have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. So this is all about, I'm saying this to my people. I'm saying this to those who say they are followers of mine and are not. I say those to those who have no relationship with me, but desire to have a relationship. He says, I'm telling you, I'm announcing to you, I'm shouting from the rooftop that I've come and I've made all things new. He said this in John chapter 3. How do you receive this? How do you receive? You said a lot of things, man of God. How do I receive all those things that you said? He said, it's so simple. A child can receive it. He says, in accordance to John chapter 3, verse 16, he says that God so loved the world. God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that if any of us would believe on his son, Jesus, that we would not perish, but we would have everlasting life, our eternal life. And when will we receive that eternal life? Now. And Jesus said in John chapter 19, verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life, that we may know the Father, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, in whom you have sent. Jesus says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me. And this is the heart of the Father. And that's why we spent the last 7 weeks ministering on setting the record straight. This is the desire of the Father found in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. He says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows the Father. He understands and knows me, he says, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So what did God say his delight is that you know and understand him, that he's exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness right now. These are the things in which he delights. And that's why we spent these last time talking about he's come to make all things new so that you could operate and live in and accordance with the righteousness of God and no longer just have a zeal for God and not have knowledge. Now you have knowledge of what the righteousness of God is and how to receive the righteousness of God. Now you have to make a decision. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? Because I was told you everything that told me to give to you, and it still comes down to one decision. Do you trust it? Do you believe it? Will you receive it? Remember, he says, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And that's the same thing there. He says this as it goes on in Romans chapter 10. If you kept reading down, it says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. He says, the word is near you. He said, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we've preached, which I preached unto you this day. He says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He said, for with the heart man believes unto what? Righteousness, a right standing, a right position, a right relationship with God. He says, but with the mouth, confession of agreement is made unto salvation. Confession means saying the same things that God said because you agree with God that he is right. How do we do that? He says, so simple. So simple a child can do it, and we'll do it right now. Pray this prayer with me. Say it from your mouth, mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord over my life. I believe I'm now in right standing with you. I believe that by grace, through faith, I am saved. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Now, you pray that prayer for the very first time. I want to welcome you to the body of Christ, welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you back into right relationship with God. Now, what do? You got to get in a word-based church to teach you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that Ignite Depot Faith Life is such a place for you. And hey, we'd love to invite you out sometime. And we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to bring a word of the Lord that will ultimately change your life forever. Now, if you have any prayer requests, send your prayer request to info@ignitetolife.com, info@ignitedepot.com. I apologize. And we'd love to pray for you. We pray every weekday, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. So if you're looking for prayer, send your prayer request. We'd be more than happy to pray for you. On behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. And remember, Jesus has already come and made all things new. All you have to do is receive it. God bless you. Bye-bye.